Glory to God. Thank God for the word of God. Welcome to another episode on Every Day with Jesus podcast. And we've been studying spiritual growth and what it looks like. Just two or three more episodes left in this series and we're going to be done. In the last series, we saw again the importance of reading through scriptures. How that reading through the books of the Bible enables you to interpret verses of the Bible, statements, things that are said in their original context. Amen. Let's say a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the enlightenment that I had to receive. Thank you because even as we look through your word today, we'd see as we ought to see. We'd discern as we ought to discern. In Jesus' name, we're prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. So, spiritual growth and what it looks like. And today, I want to share two things. One, how to read more effectively as a Christian. How to read your Bible effectively as a Christian. One of the ways to read your Bible effectively is to read it out loud to yourself. Praise God. You won't be doing this every time, but endeavor to sometimes just read the chapter or the whole book out to yourself. What that does for you is that it reduces distractions. Amen. It would surprise you. It will shock you also. When you begin to do this, you find out that there were many things you were not paying attention to. Because many times when we read silently, our minds wander. Praise God. You were reading and then before you could read through, your mind has skipped like 4 or 5 verses of the Bible. And then, you didn't even know your mind was wandering or skipping text of the Bible. So reading it out to yourself enables you to pay attention much more to the text. Enables you to pay attention to the book because your eyes must be fastened, your gaze must be on the text for you to be able to read out the things in there. Hallelujah. So it helps you. Practice this much more. Practice this regularly. You won't be reading out loud to yourself every time. And then you won't also be reading silently every time. Alternate. Always alternate. Practice them, at different times. But this will really help your study of God's word. Read out scriptures to yourself. So pick the book of Romans and read the whole chapter. Chapter 1. Read chapter 2. Read it out loud to yourself. You discover there are many things you never saw the way you are going to start seeing them. Once you begin to practice this, glory to God. Also, endeavor to read your sermon notes. If you attend the church where you are being taught the word of God regularly, endeavor to read through your sermon notes. Amen. So that takes us to how do I study? We've said so much about reading, and I just added this fact, or I just added this one other way of reading more effectively as a believer, reading your Bible more effectively. Read out to yourself loud. Don't read silently every time. Read out to yourself loud. Praise God. Just read it out to yourself loud. Read through the books loud to yourself. You'll be shocked. Many things you did not pay attention to, many things you did not consider, many things you did not see will begin to, jump at you as you practice this. So, but how do I study more effectively? How do I do contextual study of scriptures, topical studies of the Bible? I pick a theme and I want to run through scriptures to find out how, what the Bible says about them. I want to study about ministry. How do I study topics of the Bible? People ask me this question regularly. How do I study my Bible more effectively? Now, funny thing is this. I'm going to say something that would seem as though I'm taking you back to some of the things you've said earlier in this series. I'm going to share with you materials. I'm going to share with you tools, Bible study tools and all. But more importantly, listen. What we do in church regularly is Bible study. Praise God. When I go to church and I have a teaching on believer's authority, for instance, or we have a teaching on faith, what we are doing is Bible study. Hallelujah. Or we have a teaching on prayer or spiritual gifts. So the truth of the matter is the teaching ministry is meant to promote Bible study. Praise God. You shouldn't have a problem with knowing how to study if you are listening to a sound presentation of God's word on a regular basis. That topical study you want to do is what we're already doing regularly in Abinti. That should be what, that's assuming you have a church or you are in a church that teaches God's word, you know, seriously, that takes Bible study seriously. That is what the pulpit is meant for. The pulpit is meant to instill in men an attitude of Bible study. And what we should be doing on the pulpit regularly is Bible study. Praise God. Not some funny teachings. Sermons that have no tail or head. Praise God. Sermons you cannot connect to the gospel. There's nothing about the sermon that is about the gospel. Sermons you can preach effectively without ever opening your Bible. I used to feel worried and sad when I see a pastor that comes to the pulpit and the next 20, 30 minutes, I'm not kidding. I've listened to a sermon before that the pastor for the next 20, 30 minutes had not opened his Bible. I'm not kidding. Now, someone says, well, he didn't open his Bible, but maybe he was quoting or referencing scriptures. Did you really pay attention? See, that would have been great. I'm not one for, he must open the Bible to show he's quoting scriptures. It could be, you know, teaching from the Bible without opening the Bible, which, of course, that's not even really advisable. I mean, open and let us open along and see for ourselves. But I would even, you know, just overlook it if the man is saying things from the Word of God and he's not opening the Bible physically for us to see that he's quoting from scriptures. But I mean, he's referencing scriptures and he's quoting and he's talking from the Bible. I'm talking about people who they are neither opening the Bible nor quoting the Bible. The man is just being philosophical all through. The man is just saying something, giving an example in sport, giving an example from a movie. I'm not kidding you. These are preachers. These are the kind of preachers we have in the body of Christ today. Amen. And so when he's done saying all that he has to say, he now says, that's exactly what James was saying at James chapter 2. Exactly what? Everything you said, the illustrations, the example from sports, politics, the business world, that's exactly what James was saying. Really? James would be shocked right now. Hallelujah. James would be very shocked right now. Glory to God. What? That's exactly what James was saying? Are you sure? A lot of times, people say these things and they don't even know that it's a crime against the body of Christ. I mean, it's a crime against the body of Christ. We don't use events, politics, business, things happening in the world to interpret the scriptures. It is Bible that interprets Bible. Hallelujah. It is the Bible, the scriptures that interpret scriptures. Praise God. How did we get here? I started by saying that it is your pastor. Amen. It is your local church that is responsible for helping you cultivate a healthy Bible study attitude. Not only that, the church, the gathering of the saints is meant for Bible study. Amen. You see, beyond the letters that the apostles wrote to the churches, those guys had teachers and pastors that were teaching them doctrine regularly. That's exactly what Jesus did for the apostles. It wasn't a puzzle anymore after that encounter with Jesus after the resurrection. It wasn't a puzzle anymore to navigate through the prophet. Jesus already showed them how to read the prophet. That's Bible study. Amen. So that which folks are looking for, you know, you want to learn how to study Bible on your own. It is not meant to be something you are trying to pursue on a personal level first. It is something you cultivate in the church. Hallelujah. That is what the church of Jesus is primarily for. A place where we come to learn the word of God. A place where we come for Bible study. Amen. Bible study. There should be a Bible study on the mercy of God. We should understand the concept of God's mercy. A Bible study on the love of God. A Bible study on righteousness by faith. A Bible study on the ministry of angels. There should be a Bible study on everything that runs across the scriptures. There should be Bible study book by book also. That should be the normal culture of a sound local church. Praise God. So, see, if you have a pastor that is into Bible study, you're already doing Bible study. Praise God. They say, how do I study my Bible? How do I really study? That sermon, that pastor that takes his time to explain scriptures, to explain Bible text, to explain different themes and topics in the Bible, that pastor is already helping you do Bible study. Look no further. Praise God. That pastor that is rightly dividing the word of truth on a regular basis is already helping you do Bible study. That's what you are looking for. So stay with that. So go over your sermon notes. Go over those topics again. You can do a further study by delving into other portions of the Bible on the same subject, and you'll find out, you know, more insights on that subject. So, but I'm saying Bible study is what we begin in the church as a gathering. In the early church, nobody started Bible study as a personal thing. It was a corporate thing. Amen. A corporate thing. And that's exactly how God designed it for the church. So we study God's word together. Hallelujah. So, and this has always been my response to people who say, how do I learn to study my Bible? I say, find yourself a sound teacher of God's word. Find yourself somebody who rightly divides the word of truth. That is Bible study. Praise God. That is where Bible study begins. Amen. Now, I'm going to read out to you some materials that I use for my own personal study. And this is not meant to be a substitute for the ministry of a sound teacher of God's word. I'm emphasizing that because you stand to gain so much by listening to somebody who has already understood many of the things you are trying to understand. That's exactly how we deal with secular things, deal with things in the world. Nobody's trying to start from the scratch. It doesn't make sense. Somebody has gone through the pain and the stress. So just gain from their labor. Hallelujah. Gain from their labor. So it begins with being taught. Then as you are being taught, you now can develop a personal culture of going back to check these things, trying to find out more about these things, trying to know more about the things you have been taught. Amen. So I'm going to read out some materials that I use personally for my study. There's a software called Eastward. Eastward, just get on the internet, Google precisely, and type Eastward. E-Sword. And then you get the software. It'll come up. Download it. After you're done downloading, head to www.biblesupport.com. www.biblesupport.com. Biblesupport.com. And when you get there, you'd come across, you see a lot of materials there, resources specifically designed for Eastward. You get that? Specifically for Eastward. And I'm going to recommend a few materials for you, particularly dictionaries. Dictionaries, concordances, lexicons, and also there's a particular one that comes with Eastward. You have Strong's Hebrew and Greek dictionaries. It comes, it's a default dictionary that comes with the Eastward installation. So you don't need to look for this. But look for Thayer's Greek definitions on BibleSupport.com. Thayer's Greek definitions. Thayer is spelled T-H-A-Y-E-R Y-E-R apostrophe S Thayer's. So Thayer's Greek definitions. This particular dictionary is more versatile than the Strong's dictionary. Why? Apart from the fact that it gives you definitions for the words, it will give you a list of all the places the word is used through the New Testament, since it's Greek-based only. So it's just a Greek dictionary. So it will give you the place or the list of all the verses, all the places where that particular word is used in the New Testament. It also shows the root words of each of the words you check and you look up. It will also show you if it's a noun or a verb. It will show you the different English words translated from the same Greek word to further help you see how that particular word is used in the Bible. Thayer's Greek definitions. Also, there's the Hebrew version, Hebrew dictionary of that looks like Thayer's Greek definitions, which is Brown Driver Briggs Hebrew and English Lexicon. Brown Driver Briggs Hebrew and English Lexicon. Brown, normal brown spelling, brown color. Then Brown-Driver, like driver, the person that drives. Yeah, Brown Driver, hyphen again, Briggs, B-R-I-G-G-S. Brown Driver Briggs, I was about to bite myself. Brown driver bricks, Hebrew and English lexicon. Hallelujah. So that's like the Hebrew version of Thayer's Greek definitions. It will do for you everything Thayer's Greek definitions will do for you for the New Testament. It will do that for you concerning the Old Testament. So you want to find out an Hebrew word, just go to this particular dictionary. So you can find both dictionaries that I mentioned to you on BibleSupport.com. Do you get? Now listen, the fact that you have access to these concordances or these dictionaries and lexicons do not in any way mean that, everything has now become easy. Praise God. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of people don't share concordances and dictionaries with people. They assume that it encourages laziness. I don't think so. Those who created it for a purpose. It does not encourage laziness unless you want to be lazy. So because we have seen people who just go and pack all the words used and then just pick the Greek word and use all the definitions highlighted in the Greek word because they don't know how to use it. Now, you must use the concordances or the dictionaries with the knowledge of contextual Bible study. Hallelujah. Because ultimately, what Greek words will do for you or Hebrew words will do for you, checking or looking up the original words will do for you, is that they give you a list of possible meanings. A list of, different things that those words could mean. Amen. But you see, it's the context that determines which of those definitions would apply to a particular word used in a particular verse of the Bible. Hallelujah. Do you understand? The context. Amen. The context. So for instance, the word salvation. Let me give you a quick example. The word save is used in different places in the New Testament. Praise God. The word save. So let me give you an example of how this is used. In the New Testament, you have the word saved used at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look at this now. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Glory to God. The word saved is used at 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'll read from verse 16. 1 Timothy 4:16. Bible says, take it unto yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in so doing you will save both yourself and them that hear thee. Or both yourself and them that hear you. Praise God. Now, the Greek word translated save there is the word sozo. Hallelujah. The word sozo, which means to rescue. It means to deliver from danger or destruction. It means to preserve one who is in a danger or destruction. It means to deliver from the penalties of judgment. Have you seen different definitions? However, you can't always interpret. You can't just pick any of these definitions to fit everywhere or to interpret the word everywhere you find it in the New Testament. Do you get that? You can't just pick any of these definitions. That would be a misapplication. For instance, 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 16, the word is mentioned, save. You will save yourself and them that hear thee. He's not talking about salvation from penalty or judgment. Amen. In another sense, in another context, that would be the meaning. Glory to God. For instance, Acts chapter 2 verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That salvation there is from destruction. Glory to God. If you read Matthew 19, verse 25, when his disciples heard, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? They were also referring to salvation from destruction, from judgment. Amen. Now, if you read Jude 1, 5, it's the same word, sozo. Jude 1, 5, or we can just say Jude 5, because it's just a chapter. Let me read. It says, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. The Lord, having saved. Have you seen that? Saved. This salvation is not from judgment. This was salvation from slavery. But it's the same word, sozo, used at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, used at Titus chapter 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, sozo, through the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. At Titus 3:5, it's about salvation from sin and judgment. Have you seen? Same word used at 2 Timothy 1:9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Salvation from judgment, from destruction, from sin. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. The same word, sozo. But different meanings based on the context. Hallelujah. Different meanings based on the context. Praise God. So you can't just assume that any of the definitions will always fit anywhere. You must look at the context to determine which of the definitions apply, you know, in every given scenario. Praise God. In every given scenario. Now, look at Matthew 24, verse 13. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. It's the same word, sozo. Saved from what? From verse 11, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. So, he who endures to the end will be saved from deception. Hallelujah. Will be saved from the ministry of false prophets. Not salvation from sin. People don't get saved from sin or, you know, judgment by enduring to the end. That happens by faith alone in Christ alone. Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the same word, sozo. Ephesians 2, 8. So salvation from sin, from judgment, from perdition, is simply by believing in the sacrifice of Jesus. The salvation that comes by enduring to the end is salvation from the ministry of false prophets. Hallelujah. Praise God. That is, if you endure to the end, you'll be delivered from the influence of false prophets and the consequence of yielding to their ministry. What is that consequence? According to that context, the love of many will grow cold. There are many believers today whose love for God has grown cold because they've yielded their minds and their hearts to the ministry of false prophets and false teachers. So the salvation there is not salvation from sin. Glory to God. It's not salvation from sin. Praise God. It's about salvation from deception. And that's the same context of 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 16. Take it to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in so doing you will save both yourself and those who hear you. The man of God is not going to save himself from sin or judgment. Hallelujah. Look at the opening text in the chapter. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, that's 1 Timothy 4:1, latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Hallelujah. So you see, he opens the chapter with a warning. Amen. Or a forewarning about the last days. In latter times, men will give it to deceiving spirits. And he continues. He gets to verse 6. He says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. At verse 7, but reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. Hallelujah. So you see, it's about the man of God taking it to himself and to the doctrine, or in view of the doctrine, to the end that he will save himself from this falsehood. Hallelujah. Save himself from the seducing spirits, doctrines of demons, old wives' fables. The man of God will save himself from this, and he would also save those who hear him from the same. You see that? Let's see two other places before we close. At Acts of Apostles chapter 27 verse 20, the word sozo is used again for salvation. Bible says, now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, or no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. This is Paul recounting his experience on the sea. Praise God. You know, one of those times when he journeyed and they had a shipwreck. And Paul had seen in the vision that they were going to lose the ship and lose their lives. Later, he got it more accurately by the Spirit that there was not going to be loss of life, but of the ship and all that. So Paul is recounting this experience and he says, we lost all hope that we'll be saved. The salvation here, obviously, is salvation from that accident. Salvation from, you know, the calamity that was going to befall them on the sea. At verse 31 also, it says, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. That was when the ship was about to run aground. And then Paul gave instruction to the centurion and soldiers to say, see, if these guys escape, none of us will be saved. Or you will not be saved. Hallelujah. So the salvation there also is not salvation from the penalty of sin or judgment or destruction. It's salvation from sea accident. You see that? So you can't just pick Greek words and use them recklessly. You must always study, use Greek words with the knowledge of contextual Bible study. Look at the context. What is the author saying? What is the writer saying? That is what determines the use of the word. Amen. That is what determines the use of the word. Listen, it is context that gives meaning to words. Hallelujah. For instance, a man can say, you know, I lost my life to Christ. I've lost my life to Christ. I've lost my life to ministry. The word lost there must be understood in the context of what he's saying. Hallelujah. You know, back on campus, we'll go for meetings, church meetings, and then we'll come back and we'll see that meeting was bloody. Ah, so bloody. You know, what we meant was that the meeting was powerful. So the word bloody assumes a different meaning entirely based on our usage, the context of usage. Amen. And that's exactly how to also read the Bible. Words are determined, the use of words, the meaning of words are determined by the context they appear in. So don't get lazy with these materials that I shared with you. Don't get lazy and just be packing Greek language and Greek words. That's why the first thing I started with in this teaching is how that your pastor, the preacher, your local church is responsible for helping you develop a healthy Bible study culture. So this is all I'm going to say on this particular one. Hallelujah. And I hope that you learned a thing or two. Now, this is not an elaborate teaching on how to interpret scriptures. No way. That's why I emphasize the place of having a sound local church or a pastor that helps you with Bible study, that teaches you Bible. You know, as you listen to such men, you understand Bible interpretation. Some other day, we may have to do a study on Bible interpretation that's more elaborate. And, you know, it's not something I want to put in this particular series of spiritual growth and what it looks like. Glory to God. So, we are going to continue this teaching. We have two or three, at the most, three more things to consider in this study, and then we'll bring it to a close. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Invite your friends, family members, colleagues, and everyone, and let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to be full of the Word, Spirit, spiritual songs, faith, and power, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.